Hi everyone, I'm Lula.
And I'm Jude.
And welcome back to Just Friends.
Yay.
Oh, we did the cheering thing.
Yeah, we're trying to cut that out.
We said we were going to stop doing that in season two. we had a new intro idea.
How your heart is.
How is your heart? How your heart is, Jude.
How your heart is. I don't know. It feels like a Sunday. It feels like a lazy Sunday.
I agree.
But it's Wednesday.
But it's fucking the middle of the week.
Yeah, I went to yoga this morning, which was good. But I actually really love yoga. And yet it kind of puts me in a headspace of just like mellow for the rest of the day, mm-hmm. which is good. But it's kind of weird on like a Wednesday when I'm like supposed to be like, quote unquote, doing things.
Right. This is like the hump of the week.
Yeah. Oh, remember hump day?
Yes.
Hump day.
Okay. I'm feeling, well, you didn't ask me how my heart
sorry,
is.
Sorry, how hard is.
She's a little tired. I'm not feeling like, I don't think I'm feeling emotionally or mentally like down about anything, but I'm just actually like adjusting to the go, go, go thing again of school. Because I feel like we started class last Tuesday. We've like officially been in class for a week and I feel like it's been like 3 months.
Yeah.
Which is just really crazy.
The go-go part is just like weird because you're saying today you don't have any classes.
Yeah.
So do you still feel the go-go-go today?
Yeah. Well, it's things like, I mean, I was like, yeah, didn't get into a class that I should have gotten into. So.
Wah, wah, wah.
There's one of my grievances. I guess my heart's negative about that. But
what was the class?
I don't even want to talk about it.
Don't even want to talk
about it. I don't want to talk about it because I'm going to get into it next year and I'm going to be like, this is my favorite class. So I can't be talking shit about it now. But I think it's the go, go, go because I was like, okay, I have the pod. Then I'm going to get lunch and then I'm going to like take today of not having class to like clean my room and like my apartment and do my laundry and like all just these random things that I haven't finished since moving in. Because all of the first week was so like go, go, go. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I have a work shift after this little window, like between lunch and work. I was when I was going to do everything. And it's feeling go, go, go because I'm like, wow, I don't remember the last time that I was like, I have exactly 2 hours to do everything that's not schoolwork.
No, yeah. I enjoy cleaning, but the fun mm-hmm. parts of life that some people see as chores, cleaning, cooking, they mm-hmm. become chores in this kind right. of environment.
Yeah, that's the issue. I'm like, yeah. when I have to schedule everything, like the off day, which is today, is feeling very like crazy. And also I'm just disoriented because I was supposed to have class. Like I was very like, I was going to be on my grind.
Okay, wait, actually, I'm taking this moment to just, okay. I need to complain. Or like,
thank God.
For a second. I don't really understand how people... I'm about to give such a big secret away, y'all. So, like, please don't go spreading this too far and wide. But, like, I don't get why Yale students complain about how hard it is to get into classes because I just don't think it really is. It's because, like... It's like, I feel like most people complain. I'm not trying to say, like, you did everything
I'm about
right.
to fight you back. So I'm ready to hear. I'm ready okay. to hear your but soliloquy.
Like, but, like, the thing is, like, what you do...
You're like, you did everything right. Don't be mad. Okay, go. This is going to be like you somehow gained the system.
Yes. You just like, you roll your eyes. Yes. Like everyone's like, oh my God, like it doesn't work. You show up to the class even when they say, no, you're not welcome to come because you're proving that you actually care and you actually care so much that you're going to go to the class. You talk to the professor afterwards and you're like, hey, this is my dream class. Like all I want to do is take this class. Please, like, can you please let me into your class? And if they say no, you're like, okay, I totally understand. Please let me know if anything changes. Add me on the roster. Is there a way to sign up early for next year? And then that night you go on your computer, you email them, you say, hey, I had a lovely time meeting you in class. I love senior class. Please add me next year to your wait list. Like I want to be early on the class. I have almost gotten into every single class just by going to the class. And if I don't, I get on the wait list for the next year. It's yeah. such a move.
Well, this is why I'm saying I can't complain about it because I'm going to be in it next year.
Did they commit
like,
that to
she
you?
She was like the good, Yes, I've emailed this woman probably 7 times in the last month.
Okay.
Being like, let me in. I've been on the wait list for a month and I showed up to class and she was acting like I was going to get in, which is why I'm a little like.
And then, yeah.
And then she was like, no, the reason I'm mad about it. Sorry, now I'm talking shit about her, but I'm going to like rave about her next year is because she like didn't let me know that I wasn't in it.
Yeah, she did edge you for a long
time. She edged me for a long time, and I found out because I ran into two other people in comments who were like, oh, did you get in? And I was like,
so she didn't even email you.
No, I had to email her. And then she was like, I'm still waiting to hear if there's any movement, like 12 hours before ad drop closed. And here's my rebuttal to you. I have heard of multiple classes this semester. Multiple professors started class by saying, if you're on the wait list, please leave.
And then you stay.
No.
Yes.
Dude, that's like, that's a you privilege thing.
Okay. Wait, keep going. Yeah, let's talk about this.
People have been kicked. There's this one professor who I'm not talking shit about because I want to take her class next year, Daphne Brooks. This is not, I like literally want her on the pod. She's okay. Like actually like
come on the
my
pod.
Dream niche of like, anyway, she studies.
Maybe that's what we can have.
She does like black music criticism. Like she's so cool.
You sounded so excited by this class too.
Yeah, this isn't even the class that I was just talking about. Oh, wait. This is another class I didn't get into, but it's okay. I didn't shop her classes because the people that I know who went were like, she made everyone leave if they were on the wait list.
Okay.
I don't think it's like.
And then everyone left.
No one's going to start the class of being like, no. You think then she's going to let you in?
I don't think leaving is that helpful. What do you do when you leave? You leave and then what?
Then you don't get in.
Why did you go to the class in the first place? Maybe it's because you want to go in. Maybe it's because you're actually so excited about the topic that you're willing to maybe not get in, but you still want to hear her talk. You still want to learn about the topic.
But she doesn't want you to hear her talk. Like, she's literally like,
people
this is
classes
at capacity.
All the time. People can just come.
I know. But all these classes are like 12-person seminars.
Okay, so like they're not, that's something that I'm not in. I'm not in that many 12-person seminars.
Yeah,
right? Like
I'm most only of my classes, in seminars
yeah,
this year.
Yeah, and so it probably takes even like a bigger, like,
it's
bolder
crazy.
Move.
Yeah, lectures, obviously no one's going to tell you to leave a lecture. People sit on the floor and down the steps.
Okay, but I went to a class, a seminar style class this semester, and it was like 18 people. And the professor was like, so there are 19 people or maybe 20 people in this room right now. And there's only 18 allowed. And I've already had to deny so many. And then he like counted. He's like, how many people? And he's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 20 people. And he's like, huh. And I didn't say anything. I just stayed quiet. And then yeah. I went up to him after class and I was like, hey, like, I know I'm not enrolled in the class. I know you asked people not to come, but I just need to say, like, this is my dream course. Like, I know I'm not going to be able to get in this semester, but is there anything I can do to like get my name high up on the list next year? And he was like, let me see if I can get you in this. Like, it's just like you show some like excitement for the class, so much excitement that you're willing to like go and do it. And it's probably a complete
privilege. But I
did
go and do it.
I know. That's why I said you didn't do anything wrong. I'm just saying everyone complains about it.
Because it doesn't work. What you're saying doesn't work. I get. Okay. I guess I
guys,
should
this
clarify.
Is our first fight.
I guess I should clarify when I'm saying like I didn't get in. I am meaning currently this semester. I've never gotten denied from a class and not been able to take it
in the future. Okay.
Yeah. I should have said that at the beginning because maybe that's what we're fighting about.
Well, I just think that's like I sometimes treat my shopping period not to like optimize my schedule for this semester, but it's like get my name into the syllabus, like in for the classes that I want to take next year or next semester.
But I'm like, okay, this is going to be the end of this soon.
Okay. I think we're just
like gonna... first 10 minutes of the pod. I'm like, maybe it's a me thing. I don't know. If I've emailed a professor literally 7 times, like bearing my soul, literally begging, that already feels like weird to me. Like I'm so against the whole, like, I got into this school and now you want me to apply to every single class.
You have to do that.
So I'm already like, I'm already sucking up by emailing a teacher, like, 3 times, mm-hmm. being like, I love you. I've heard such great things about this class. Yeah. Please let me in. Let alone 7 times, let alone not getting in and then going to the class to be told to leave. I'm not going to sit there and be like, no. I mean, maybe that would be a good act of rebellion. But I just feel like I can't sit there and be like, against them and then to go up at the end of class and be like, I love you so much. I'm like, I don't fucking love you right now. I'm really annoyed. I actually am super unhappy in this moment. Okay, that's
okay,
my take.
Sure. I think the takeaway from this conversation is Yale needs to fix their shopping period, which they don't even have anymore. Okay.
Bro, and they've changed. Sorry, it's not over.
It's
apparently
not over.
They've changed it every semester that we've been here.
Yeah.
But I will say, this is not in Yale's defense, but my course registration last fall abroad was also equally horrific.
But that's like school didn't know what was happening. They hadn't been established for more than like 5-10 years. Like the school should have it down. Like
only like a few centuries. I know. Okay.
Okay.
Only older than America school. Can't figure out how to register for classes. Okay.
We've been high-fiving a lot. I love it.
You've been starting.
Should we bring the high five back, guys? I'm also trying to bring the wit back.
I was just gonna say.
No, I just whipped and Lula looked so disappointed.
I can't believe people aren't watching this. Like, and what are you guys hearing? Like, what do you imagine is going on?
Just like chaos.
Me crying on the floor, sitting under the couch.
Just like Lula and Jude physically fighting each other.
So that's how our hearts are, I guess.
Yeah, clearly. A little aggravated, I guess.
Well, whatever. It's like first week of settling. I was actually going to say I'm feeling like more optimistic than I thought.
I am too.
Yeah.
Like much more.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the adjustment period is still ongoing, but has been, I don't know.
I'm scared this is like a psych settled, you know?
What does that mean?
Like I feel a little bit more settled, but I'm worried that I'm like getting psyched out and like I'm going to like kind of have another wave of anxiety and stress, et cetera, in like the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Like I can guarantee that I will. I'm not even worrying about that because I know it's going to happen.
You're just like positively.
I'm 99.9% sure I'm going to freak out soon.
Yeah, like we're not at midterms yet, but like in 1 week.
Why are you talking about that? In one week?
Isn't that the vibe?
Sorry, I just had a deja vu. I think I dreamt about this last night.
What, recording the pod?
No, where I was like, oh my God, it's the end of the first week of class and I have a midterm due and everything.
That's not like a dream. That's just like reality.
No, but that's so crazy because I never remember what I dream about.
You don't remember what you dream about either?
No.
Wait, okay. Can we please talk about this? Why do we not remember? I don't remember anything I dream about either.
I don't know. Everyone listen to the knock sleeping episode. Because she said to write things down. She said as soon as you wake up, you should write things down. But I don't even have a single thing to write down.
Except I did have one really scary dream. I hate when people talk about dreams, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay, go. We don't even need a topic for this episode. Go.
But I woke up yesterday and I was like 10 minutes before my alarm went off. And so I kind of went back to bed. But then I had a dream again of waking up, going to the bathroom, looking around, and there was no sink and no toilet, just a shower. And I was like, huh. So then I come out of my apartment and everything had been robbed. Like I had nothing, but it was my apartment and I thought I was awake. And I was like, wait, am I dreaming? So I pinch myself.
In the dream?
In the dream, I pinch myself and I thought I felt a pinch. So
was this a lucid dream? I don't know what's happening.
I don't think I wanted to control. I didn't control the dream.
Wait, I'm confused.
I don't know.
You thought you felt the pinch in your real mind?
So I was like, oh, I'm awake. And then at some point, I actually woke. And I was like, oh my God, thank God it was a dream. But how did I just fool myself?
Yeah, but I asked if it's... I asked if it's a lucid dream because I'm like, how were you aware of what you were thinking?
You can't do that.
I guess I can do that, actually.
Maybe we lucid dream. That would be crazy.
I think I'm asleep right now.
There's a new piece of technology that's being developed that like is going to be able to put you, quote unquote, going to be able to put you into a lucid dream without practicing.
You're going to like work in your sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. How ding, ding, ding. I'm going to write all my essays. I'm going to have like literally nothing to do. I'm like, that's crazy.
I don't want to do that.
Well, you don't have
to. Didn't someone talk to us about that on the pod before?
I think I probably mentioned
it. Or in real life, that someone who can like work.
I think
you're the one
I
who brought
said
this
that
up?
To you. Yeah, I know. I have a family friend who is able, like works during his lucid dreams. Crazy.
I can't imagine that. And he wakes up feeling rested.
Yeah, because you're still sleeping, right?
But then what are you working on?
Like you're like planning out your essays. You're like planning out what your like conversation or presentations you're like ideating. I don't know. It also could be lore, you know?
Dude, you're going to go insane. That is good lore to have.
I already am going insane.
Because no one can be like, that's not true. If you tell someone that, if you can be like, here's what I do when I dream. Like maybe Nock was lying that entire episode. No one would have any way of being like, no, you don't do that because it's in your brain.
Maybe we should just make up dreams. Should we just start doing that?
Okay.
No one wants to hear about dreams.
No.
It's like, so.
Okay, can I bring up a topic?
Please, yeah, please.
So, normally the How's Your Heart was going to be like a 3-minute intro that gets us to start. I think we're done with the pod now. It's been like 20. Okay, here's what I wanted to talk about today.
Hit me with your best shot.
So, this has to do with like art x media. Okay.
Okay.
As to do with like relationships to art, okay. Artist relationships to art. I think I'm going to be bringing up topics like this a lot this semester. Good. Because I'm in so many like music in society esque mm-hmm. classes that I so far love. Okay. So something I've been thinking about / inspired by a TikTok that I saw over the summer.
Classic.
But actually hasn't left my brain. And mm-hmm. I've been thinking about it so much like to explain my internal stuff is the fact that to be an artist, quote unquote, air quotes, right now, you have to be an influencer.
Yeah.
And I actually think those two things are largely incompatible.
I agree.
And the TikTok I saw that was about this was like, you wouldn't expect like the guys from Radiohead to be able to have like a marketable personality. Mm-hmm. Like if they had to rely on their like charm and good looks on TikTok to like maintain whatever followers or even like gain 100,000 followers like every single day, they would have completely plummeted. And then the TikTok went in to explain like, which whatever, Radiohead fans, don't come at me, okay? It's not my idea. And then it went on to explain that like artists, I think like historically, but also like in literature, like when you read an artist explaining their journey or something, so much of the time it's something so reclusive. Like it's like, yeah. I went into like a cabin in the woods, yep. and I didn't talk to anyone and I went insane and I created this thing that's now like made me huge or changed my life in some way. And it's so impossible, I think, at least I related to this, to like create something that I feel like happy about and proud of when I'm chronically online. Just yeah. so funny because we're like,
because we're making a podcast that's going to go online. But yeah.
Yeah. And I think I like, then it made me think about our conversations with like the podcast being art or not, because this is like a fundamentally online
yep.
venture. And I don't feel any negative type of way about that. Like I'm not feeling like, you know what I mean? I'm not like, I do feel like the podcast like comes into itself online in a positive way, mm-hmm. obviously. I don't know how else we would share it.
But that's part of the medium itself.
Right. But then I started thinking about like, maybe this explains my shit with promotion so much more. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like,
which will you explain that to our listeners? Because yeah. they may not even know.
Yeah. I'm like, what? You haven't listened to the last 60 episodes? I like literally can't. I'm like getting curled up in a ball right now. I get so physically, internally, everything anxious thinking about promotion.
Yeah.
And I've talked about it on the pod before, specifically in the context of like releasing music, because that's the thing that always like holds me up, or at least that I like use as an excuse to hold yeah. me up. I'm like, I'm not gonna really, I released an EP over the summer, look at me promoting.
Woo!
But
check
I like
it out.
Literally released it and then net what dropped off the face of the earth. Yeah. I was like, I can't. And I knew that that was going to like limit its potential or something. Like I wasn't pitching it to playlists and I yeah. wasn't like cold emailing a million people being like, please listen to this, please, like I'll pay you to promote whatever. I like didn't do any of that. And even when we released the video pod last week,
yep.
I was like, Jude, I do not want to post it on my main account. Mm-hmm. And I ended up doing it.
Proud of you.
Thank you. And I was like, you know, I can always like hide it from my profile or something yeah. if I get like freaked out. But I don't feel freaked out now at all about having it up there. I even forgot about it until this morning when I was like, we're going to talk about this mm-hmm. today. But it's the actual act of like posting it
yep.
and being like, look at this work I did, that makes me feel like it's subtracting something from the art.
Yeah.
Or something. Okay, that's my soliloquy.
That's a lot. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't give you any single chance to interject.
No, that was good though. It was all good. It was just a lot.
Should I ask you a question? Or do you have thoughts?
I have a few things. Well, first of all, I just want to say that I do think you can be an artist. I just don't know if you can create great art. I think those are different things.
Wait, what do you mean?
You said that like to be, you like the only way to be an artist is to be an influencer right now. That's what that's uh-huh. how you started this entire thing.
Yeah.
And I think that you can be an artist without being an influencer. Mm-hmm. You just don't get the same reach and notability and fame, and usually also like ability to make that your job.
Yeah.
Right? Like a lot of people have found social media as like a way, and content creation as a way to like literally make a living.
Yeah. Especially like TikTok music.
Yeah.
TikTok musicians is like the biggest thing right now ever.
Yeah, but there's also like videographers, there's chefs that do this. Like there's a lot of different.
That's true.
There's woodworkers that I get on there's a ton of different artists that are sharing their content with the world so that they can make a living, which is super cool.
Yeah.
And it goes to this. There becomes a line where when you're creating the content. Okay, this is actually one of the craziest. I'm gonna ask you a question because I've been grappling with this. So I think Mr. Beast is an artist. Okay? Like when I look at his content, I see him as an artist. However, I struggle with this because as I reflect on it, the part of the reason I think he's such an artist is he's so, so determined to make the best YouTube video possible. And that usually is measured in metrics. Like number of views and the retention rate of how long people watch. And he has mastered the algorithm of YouTube, and he has practically become a recluse to be able to make the best YouTube videos out there, right? But his goal in life is to make the best YouTube. And I kind of think that's art. The process of how he makes them feels like art to me. However, in this kind of entire conversation, it kind of also feels, both of us, I think what you were saying, and I agree in general, that when you're just putting content out there just to get views and just to make money, you can't make great art, right? Like the great art comes from being, creating the art for your soul, not doing the promotion and like being inside a cabin. But then Mr. Beast kind of comes in and he's like, wait a second. Like I kind of think that he is like an actual artist. And I think a lot of people would disagree with me. I think a lot of people would just be like, he's a YouTube video guy who like makes videos. And he is that, but there's something like really beautiful about his process that I admire a lot.
This is so interesting. I mean, like, first in my head, I'm like, obviously it leads us down the combo of like, what is art?
Yeah.
Which I think we're not going to recap today or right now, but I think it's going to keep coming up. And I think it would be interesting to like, for us to give it a new definition. Some point, like, because we did that like a year and a half ago at this point. So I think it would be interesting. Anyway.
I still feel like I have mine, but yeah.
Mine is like changing a little.
Oh, just because
I was in this, I'm in this class called like Music Service and Society.
Okay.
That's like a kind of a grad school class. Like it's mostly school of music people. And the first question he asked us on the first day was like, what is an artist? Mm-hmm. And then it was like, what's the role of art? And it's kind of my like idea of it's kind of changing a little, but TBD, to be developed.
Oh.
Thank you. That's
just nice.
Came up with that.
Nice.
That's nice. Okay, but to answer your question, I struggle with thinking of him as an artist, Mr. Beast.
Okay.
I think he's absolutely an influencer.
He is that too.
And I would say that he's absolutely creative.
Okay.
And I don't know if I would consider what he's making art.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm like,
that's what I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people would say that. I think big fans of Mr. Beast would also say that. Like, I think that's just a.
Well, that's why I'm like, it's what does art mean? And what is art to you? Because I'm also like, you know, the people who walk into like modern art galleries and they see a red dot in the middle of a canvas. I'm like, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, that's not art. But someone said that's art. So I don't know. I'm not really sure. And then I was also thinking about like, it made me think of YouTube in general and like other YouTubers. I don't think a lot of YouTubers are artists.
Oh, I agree. Not like very few.
And I think that some of them, like a few of them are. A few of the ones I watch, like the ones who are really focused on like the aesthetic of their videos in some way. Or like where it feels more like a film than like something literally to influence or to gain views. But then I'm like, all YouTubers are trying to get views.
Maybe.
I guess it's a maybe.
Yeah, like, so like, the person that always comes up to my mind when I think about YouTube and art is actually Casey Neistat.
Uh-huh.
Who is like basically invented vlogging and daily right. vlogging.
Yeah.
And I always have felt like each video of his mm-hmm. is never really that much of an art piece. But if you take the entire collection of his like 2 years of everyday vlogs, I consider that art. Like, I truly think that that is like such a beautiful and incredible caption of life. And I think that he, from at least the way he talks about it, he started because he was a struggling filmmaker. He liked making videos, and he YouTube was not a way to make a living back then. He just started posting, and then he started getting traction, and eventually he ended up making millions of dollars from his content. But I think the instigating part of him posting on YouTube and starting a daily vlog and starting this artwork was not about becoming an influencer. I'm not even sure that term existed back then.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. I'm like, when I think of Mr. Beast, like, I think of him as an influencer primarily because he has like the largest influence yeah. on YouTube.
Yep.
And a ton of platforms. Mm-hmm. Top in the world, dare yep. I say.
Oh yeah.
And it is so interesting also with the vlogging aspect, because when I think of someone walking around with a camera being like, here's what I do today or whatever, I'm like, that's not really art. But I'm also like, first of all, how different is that from what we're doing, even though we're not vlogging, but just the content being like, this is me, here's what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. Also, the YouTubers I had in mind who I just mentioned who were like aesthetic or more cinematic, whatever, are all vloggers.
Yeah.
So I can't be like, I don't consider what he's doing art. I mean, maybe I could.
I think you can, though. I think you can, like I think this is gets to, like, a big issue with... I think my biggest issue with social media and influencers doing art is that because of the algorithm, there is incentive to copy and replicate other people's work. Like, I actually think that there are plenty of people that are actually doing art for art's sake or whatever, even if the sake is like becoming famous. Plenty of people want to do art because they want to be a famous painter or something, but they do it and it's original and it's unique, and they're changing the understanding of how vlogging goes or how YouTube videos are or how music is shared.
Yeah, anything.
And then there's all these other people that are watching and I'm thinking, oh, I could do that. Like, that gets a lot of views. And like, even us, like, this is why I think the podcast is much more artistic in some ways than our YouTube video, like our like
yeah.
shorts, because what we do with our YouTube shorts is like, we're like, what works for the algorithm?
Like, yeah. And it's a nightmare.
Yeah. And it's based on like what does well,
yeah.
you know? And so those don't feel anything. They feel like we're just replicating other people's work in some ways.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry, am I interrupting?
No, well, I was just saying, like, and Mr. Beast, the reason I just go back to why I see him as an artist, he revolutionized everything. Like, he mm-hmm. completely cracked the code. Like, and now all these other people on YouTube are copying him. And now his kind of content feels like everything else on YouTube and whatever. But actually, he was the first person to realize, hey, if I give $10,000 to a homeless person, people actually want to see me do good. I don't need to be mean on YouTube to get followers. Okay. Mm. And like that, now you go and look on that, and every single YouTuber who's trying to make it is doing exactly what he's doing.
And that's become a whole other source of discourse and critique. That's like, why the fuck are you guys filming yourselves doing a good deed?
Yeah.
And that takes away from it.
We can get into, but that can be a whole other episode.
Okay, so different episode. That,
but like okay. getting canceled, yes. curing people's deafness.
You if you're that? Getting what
he like cured like 1,000 people's, maybe even more, but like maybe 10,000 people's deafness. He like paid for their surgery, or maybe it was maybe it was blindness, maybe it was both. I don't know. But he like paid for people's surgeries, and he like filmed them like being able to see for the first time, and he got canceled because they were like, oh my God, like you're taking advantage of these people. And he's like, well, like I paid for their surgery. If they didn't want to be in the video, they didn't have to be. Like I'm not gonna stop doing good things with my platform. Like, would you guys rather me like? It's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, because that's like goes into his work. Like, his work is making these videos.
Yeah,
and a large part of that's a whole other thing.
We can go yeah. down that path. We can, you well, decide if you want to go down that.
I'm just like, I don't. Yeah, it's complicated to me because I think like obviously it's something that he's able to do because of how like popular he's become and because of the money he's made from YouTube, which is from also largely from doing other good deeds. But I'm also like, yeah, a part of it feels like simultaneously you're using the fact that you're doing something good to get more views and get more money.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. But, and I'm really like, if, when I see a TikTok of some like 25-year-old being like filming themselves like POV handing money to a homeless person on the street, I'm like, can you not actually, yeah, can you not actually try and post that to like go viral?
Yeah. I will say that like my general response in these like arguments is that like there's just the argument for separate from TikTok and Instagram, is altruism even a real thing? Because people that like give money to homeless people, they get a boost in their happiness, right? Like anytime you do a good thing, you somewhat get a good feeling inside. Unfortunately, society is built in a way that people that like, it's awesome that Mr. Beast is like, it's better that he's doing that than giving money to other people.
I was just going
to
say,
he has to use his platform and has to take a video of help curing people's blindness. Like, sure, you guys can give him critique, but like, what are you doing? Like, are you going to like, are you going and paying for someone's surgery? No. Like, thank God someone will do that. And if that means that he's making YouTube videos and the capitalizing on off it. The thing is he's taking all that money that he's getting from YouTube videos, at least Mr. Beast is, and putting it into more good deeds. You know?
I mean, he's figured out his thing for sure.
Yeah, and I get that, and it feels weird, but to be canceled or to even give critique, it's like I don't know why we're giving him critique. Like I don't know what he's not doing anything really wrong in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that's like, specifically in his case, I don't think it's something like worthy of being canceled for. But I'm like, I definitely think it's an important like question to be asking when we see people in general using like other people of less privilege and then the person posting it helping them to like make money. Because I'm like, yeah, Mr. Beast has his thing figured out, like his own cyclical thing of like, and then I'm going to use this to help more. Like, sure, that's fine. I don't watch him or know much about him, like literally other than through you. So I can't be like, no, these are the inner workings. No, yeah. But anyway.
But I think that's a good point that you bring up in general.
Wait, you said something before we got on this whole path where I was like, that's an important distinction. Something about, I was thinking something that's like, maybe it's more. Oh, what's his name? Casey?
Casey Neistat?
Yeah. When you were like, if you put all of his, or if you see his vlogs as a whole, you consider it art. I really agree with that. I'm like, he's making like a documentary of his life or something holistically. And there are plenty of films or movies like showing in theaters that are literally just people doing that. Yep. And it's not on YouTube. And I also think what you said about like, when what you're creating is just to copy something else that you've seen be successful in the algorithm, that I don't think is art. And that's what I struggle with a lot when I see the whole like blowing up. I'm like, I know I'm so like music TikTok focused, but that's just because
And I'm YouTube focused. It makes sense. We just have it our makes niches. Sense.
But I'm like, when I see people blowing up on TikTok for like essentially copying something that's been done 8,000 times in the last week, I'm like, this doesn't feel as much like art to me as it would if I heard it on like Spotify.
Yeah.
Which also I should think more critically about, because I'm like, Spotify is also, you're kind of like an extension of that little machine. Like following what is like marketable to Spotify.
Yeah, but all of these, like there are machines that like curate and decide what art is, right? There always has been. And so, and I think that's like one of the cool things about art is that even if a system says something is art or not art, another person can be like, well, that is art or isn't art. Like people can disagree and have conversations about this. Mm-hmm. Like I can be like, oh, I think Mr. Beast is art when a lot of people don't, you know? And that being said, I think that there is some essence to new novelty in these forms that do succeed past imitation. Sorry, that was not coherent, like was not eloquent. But
yeah,
like,
I was like, that was no. You just read that off.
it was just like trying to put the thoughts together. But it's like all these the people that like make TikToks that are just like copies of other TikToks.
Yeah,
they may get like a big spike in views once in a while, but those people are not gonna be the ones who withstand the platforms and say, oh no, this is art. Yeah. You have to do something new to be well known, I think, and famous in some regard. And that's not to say that all these famous YouTubers are all artists at all. But I do think that it does give, if you're doing something pretty unique, like, you have, you may have a chance at notoriety and fame on these on these platforms, which is cool. And there's also going to be a lot of fake people doing stuff that is icky.
I'm like becoming a cynic from my classes.
Of
like the music industry. I mean, I already was, but like how music is produced and has always been produced. Like I've had three of my professors have been like, don't become a cynic by the end of this class. So that's a warning for the pod. Yeah, I agree with everything you just said.
Okay.
I don't have anything. The only thing I was thinking that's like an additional thought is that I think art is always like influential in some way, even if it's just like internally for one person. And I'm just noticing myself being like, artist and influencer, those are like incompatible things, because I'm like, well, you kind of do want to influence.
Yeah, that's the point of art in some ways, or at least feel, make some, but that's influencing.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, exactly. Yeah. That's still influential. So I'm like, I don't know. There's more nuance somewhere in there of like defining the terms, because it's interesting to me that I came in being like, those are completely incompatible things. I'm like, well, maybe it's just like the form of the influencer.
Yeah, I think it's a lot about, influencer is really about personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think art is a little bit more about the content that the artist creates. In some ways, the artist shouldn't even have to be there for the art to really like, resonate with you.
Yeah, that's, I guess, where it started. Because I was like, a lot of artists, I think, actually don't have good personalities.
Yeah, and they are recluses, or they, yeah. Or they're not famous until they're dead.
Yeah, and now they're canceled.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. We should talk about cancel culture soon.
All right. Get ready, guys.
Episode incoming. That's going to be our biggest fight.
Yeah.
Okay. What should we do now? Should we end it? Or should we do a good question? Are we done?
I don't know. I don't need a question, but I felt that was a good ending. But we can do a question. You want a question?
No, we can be done.
Okay.
We're tired.
Okay, wait. What's your favorite cereal? How about that? That's the last
question. Cereal?
Yeah. Why do you... That was.
I'm going to tell Fruit Loop story. And my parents are going to kick me off the internet.
Okay.
My favorite cereal is Fruit Loops. And it's only because... I love Fruit Loops. Esme and I used to get Fruit Loops in Jamaica. My family, we would go to Jamaica for like vacation instead of going to like Florida or something. I don't know. When we were very little, and my parents would be like, we're going to the beach, or like something. We're going on a plane. We're going on a flight. Like some of my first trips were to Jamaica, and the hotel we stayed at had Fruit Loops, and Esme and I always got Fruit Loops. And then like years later, I saw them in the grocery store after years of my parents being like, they only have Fruit Loops in Jamaica.
That is such a good move. Because
I didn't want us having sugary cereal or something. Anyway, I just explained that story so incoherently.
No, I got it though. I got to it.
Okay, actively though, like Honey Nut Cheerios is my classic.
Oh, Honey Nut Cheerios hit. Fruit Loops are really good though.
Yeah, they're delicious. Yeah. Can you imagine thinking they don't exist for so long?
Like, yeah, I could. Okay. Sorry to ruin. I support your parents' decision there.
Love you guys. I get what you were trying to do, but that was crazy.
That was crazy. That's
crazy.
No, yeah, it's crazy that parents can just say things like that. And then like, I know. You just like fall for that.
Anyway, it's such a good story for me to tell though.
Yeah. Okay.
They're going to be mad at me. Are you guys going to be mad at me? I'm talking to the camera now.
I don't think so.
Okay. Please don't cancel Mel Lula.
You get canceled for bullying your parents. That's crazy. Okay.
I'm not even bullying them.
You're just sharing a story.
Wait, what's your favorite?
Oh, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
You know, that's one I missed. Not that I don't like it, but I just never like, I didn't have it enough. I had those like little Chex, the version of those. Oh, but yeah, that's but like off brand. I know they're not as good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Good what's job. Your guys' favorite cereal? That can be the question, I guess. That's
How did
fun.
You think of that?
I'm hungry.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you next Sunday.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.